Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
All right, y'all ready?
Yes.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I'm Ben.
I'm Veronica.
Thanks for tuning in. And tonight we are going to kind of go over a couple different things, a couple parables. And all right, you guys want to jump into the parable of the three servants, Benjamin?
Yeah, we can do that.
Oh, you know what? We didn't pray before you started.
We can do that as well.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together tonight and to have us go over your word. Please let us touch whoever's listening with whatever you want them to hear and just really reach out and touch as many souls as possible with your verses and your holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
And Holy Spirit, just please flow through us naturally so we pick up on your whatever you're saying to us easily and quickly so that we can relay it to whoever needs to hear it, please.
Amen.
Amen.
All righty. So we are going to start with Matthew 25, and it's verse 14 through 30, right? Yeah, 14 through 30.
Wow, that's a lot of verses. All right, let's go.
Okay.
I'm going to go slow so I don't trip all over the words.
Okay.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his severability, and straightway took his journey. Then that he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That is a mouthful, brother.
It is a mouthful, for sure.
To me, this is like talking about your faithfulness, right?
Your faithfulness, what you do for the kingdom of heaven. And I think I feel like God also is very purposeful in the way things ended up being translated. And I know that sounds odd, but I feel like talents was used for a reason. Yes, talent is a sum of money, and it means a sum of money. But I also look at it as far as like the abilities that are given to each person and what you do with those abilities for God, right? Like
So
the person
basically,
that
like
had.
our spiritual gifts is what you're talking about.
Yes, our spiritual gifts. So yeah, so our fruits, right? Like what we're given and what we can do with those. And it's kind of like Spider-Man. If you remember the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, where Uncle Ben says to Tobey Maguire, he says, "To he who is given much power comes much responsibility." I see this verse the same as that, where it's like person, right? The person that's given the most is expected to do the most.
Yeah.
And he expected very little out of the person who was given very little. And they didn't trust him. They had no faith. And instead, they just buried everything they had and they did nothing.
Yeah.
My study assistant says the parable teaches that faithfulness involves active stewardship proportional to one's capacity. Good on you, Ben. I still just wish you would speak plainly. That's okay.
Yeah.
Makes me
He's
think.
Also talking a lot about discipleship, making disciples. The ones, what is our fruit? We're going to face one day God, and he's going to ask us, where are my talents?
Well, now the fruit, because the fruit and our gifts are two different things. We get the fruits from our gifts.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. But some people don't, and that's the person that buried it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not going to be
yes.
us.
I mean, if you have someone who's amazing at communication and they're very able to reach people, and that person, you know, sits at home, and I use myself as an example of this, like sits at home watching Netflix a little bit too much, right? Like, and is not communicating with people and reaching people, and that's problematic.
You do it every week,
you need
though.
To stop to do Netflix and go to the park and reach people in San Francisco.
Oh my gosh, if you do that, please film it.
Yeah, you have to understand, San Francisco looks a lot more luxurious in the movies, but what would happen is if I go to the park and I start preaching, is you will see a video of me being stabbed.
Or the bushman get you like he did me. Jesus is like really cool. It's like if you think of when the Pharisees tried to entrap him. Oh, did anybody have anything else to say about the parable of the three servants? I'm sorry, I kind of just jumped ahead.
No. I think that we got that.
So, in Matthew 22, verse 15 through 20, I think, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. I love him. He's so cool. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. "Teacher," they said, "we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus knew their evil motives. "You hypocrites," he said, "why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax." When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well, then," he said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." And his reply amazed them and they went away. That kind of like puts me in mind of when he was being tempted by the devil in the desert. You know, he kept fighting back with a word and the devil eventually fleed. Just as these ridiculous Pharisees.
Yeah, I mean, I think this also kind of like illustrates what we were talking about earlier, where it's like everyone expected the Messiah to be anti-Rome.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying that Jesus wanted his people to be enslaved to Rome, but I'm saying that wasn't his job. His kingdom, as he said, was not of this world, and he had another agenda to do, which was to save all of humanity from their sins.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the most interesting part is that the disciples got to convert Romans to Christians, you know? Mm-hmm. And then look at that, that now the Vatican is in Rome.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing, right? Like that's exactly the non-logical, mystical, weird way that God likes to work.
He flipped it upside down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, except when you're trying to figure out what the crap he's talking about, then it's kind of like, oh, man, okay. I need to call my friends.
Because we are always focusing the small picture.
Yeah.
We're always focused, and they were focusing that, okay, God comes to relieve us from the Romans, but the big picture is, no, we are sinners, and our jail is sin, and our enemy is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For all of us, not just the Jewish people. So that is, and then he came to preach love, love to others. So we needed to love the Romans too, and the Jewish needed to love the Romans, and that was hard, but the disciples get to do it, you know?
Yes. I think if Jesus did come down and do what they wanted, and he was plain talking, and he's just like, he would be like, okay, fine, I'll save you from Rome, but you're still going to die. And then you won't be in heaven with me. And if that's what you want, you can have a great life here because you won't be restricted by Rome, but I'll never see you again. And you will be eternally in flames, right? Like, if that's the choice you would like.
Well,
and that's the difficult situation when you are a Christian and you talk with a person that is in the world. They always will talk to you about success, money, and about this world here and the success here and the failures here.
Right.
When you, as a Christian, we see the big picture. We see that I don't care about here. I mean, I care about later. I care about my eternity. And I get to be happier if I think like that. And I have a joy in Christ if I think like that, but it's difficult. And you wanted to transmit that to others, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
It's hard to even remember it yourself, but like you definitely can like look at the people that have everything in this world and see like an Elon Musk or like the president or like people, leaders of other countries. And there is this point where like it registers and you're like, all of this is meaningless.
Yep.
None of their power, like nothing they have matters.
Well, it's like Diana said in our chat earlier that she doesn't understand how we humans can accumulate so much crap because we can't take it to heaven. So that's kind of what I try to think of when I start wanting to buy a bunch of stuff. I'm just like, I don't need it. So save my money. All righty. So last week we were going to do the Beatitudes, but then we kind of went a little bit long. Veronica, you want to read like the first half of them? It's Matthew.
First what?
Matthew 5. You want to do 3 through 10?
3 through 10. Let me see.
And I'll take over the rest, the other two paragraphs.
Yes. The Beatitudes. God bless those who are poor and realize their need for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
And God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. This is, I can't even imagine what the Pharisees did when they first heard this. They probably flipped their lids, talking about the poor going to get into heaven before them.
And flipped is a good word. Like, they flipped their lids because Jesus flipped the script, right? Like,
totally.
All of these are things that they would not consider to be blessed. They would see these as weaknesses. They would see these as ailments. They would not think that, like, being poor in spirit was a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But if you look biblically, throughout all of the New Testament, at least, the thing that God clearly has the biggest issue with in all of mankind is pride.
Yeah. Yeah, because how many times is humble and humility said in the Bible?
Many, many, many.
Yeah. Very frequently. But...
yeah. That's a big thing. And we, in any moment of our life, we have a problem, but God will make, will show us. He will show us that he's not happy with that.
For sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, everything he says here is like everything the Pharisees are against.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the Pharisees because they got to see Jesus. They were the children of Jacob. They're supposed to inherit everything from God. And they rejected Jesus. And even Jesus said the guys from Nineveh that were the mean guys that Jonah supposed to go to preach,
yeah,
they will judge you first because they repented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Pharisees, like, they believed that to get to heaven, right, to be good people, to be what they needed to be the chosen people of God, they had to live up to the law, which was impossible to do. So for them to hear things like, all you have to do is be merciful, all you have to do is be pure of heart, they're like, no, you have to, like, follow all of these rules.
What is it, like 613 or 631 or something like that?
Yeah. Some,
whatever it is, it was impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But like Varak said, you kind of feel sorry for him because, like, they've been trying to follow all those rules, right? They think they're doing the right thing.
Exactly. Yes. They were thinking that killing Jesus was an act of was an act that God will be happy that they were doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, until the sky turned black.
Yeah. And the earth
the veil
trembled.
Was ripped and
oh, I would have loved to have been there when that veil ripped in half.
I heard from a pastor that very theological that when that veil got wrapped in two, that was like the separation, like we were separated from God, from the Father. But the moment that Jesus died and the veil ripped in two, that was the communion with Jesus to us. The moment that he died.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, I could be wrong on this, but because I've heard that too. And I think that this is the way it goes. I'd have to look up. I mean, the Old Testament stuff about the temple is like, it's elaborate, right? But I think that, like, the veil was in front of the Holy of Holies where only the priests could go in. The ripping of the veil meant that all humanity could now come to God.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that is very beautiful.
Because then people wouldn't have to rely on them to get to God. Or
yeah, they really lost their importance that day.
They did, yeah. But as they should have, because all they had to do was just believe them and stop being jerks. Because he won anyway.
That's true.
I mean, after raising Lazarus from the dead, I don't know how somebody couldn't be like, okay, maybe he is from God.
You would think, but you can also see how if you weren't one of his followers and you saw this man raise someone from the dead, it would also be a little bit terrifying. I'm sure it was even scary for the apostles. They're like, did he just make this dead man come back to life? Like, it would be a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be cool to see,
It
though.
was. Yeah. But then that's what he hide when he raised the little child of the
Oh, yeah.
Jairus' daughter from death. He hide that whole situation, and he just make witnesses John and Peter and James,
James.
because he say only you guys can see it. You cannot tell anyone.
Because he knew what it
Yeah.
would cause. Yeah. Like
Yeah.
Lazarus was closer to the end. Right. But he knew if he did that, then he's not gonna make it to where he needs to make it.
Then
Well, yeah, because
yeah,
I
he
think
have
he doesn't he weep like when he goes to when he
to
sees
Lazarus.
Martha, because they're begging him, they're asking him why he didn't come sooner and make his brother better so he wouldn't have to die. And
Smallest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept.
Jesus wept, yep. That's
And very strong too.
And you know what the most popular phrase in the Bible is? The most common?
What?
I'll give you a hint. The answer is on Mandy's hat.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
fear
do not
is.
fear. Do not
Yeah.
fear. Yes.
Yeah, my hat says fear is a liar, by the way, in case you're not watching this and just listening.
It is a liar.
Yes. And it's good to real to remember that.
It's so easy to get nervous and to be afraid. It's so easy,
Well, yeah, because I
right?
was on the encounter with Jesus today. I was noticing because I try to open up and talk and try to be vulnerable like we're supposed to do, like I'm want to do on here, but doesn't always happen. I noticed in my I started talking faster, and usually when I start talking fast, it's because I'm nervous. And I got to thinking, why am I nervous? I'm not embarrassed to talk about Jesus at all. I'm not embarrassed to talk about my problems. I may not want to cry in front of people, but I'm not embarrassed about it. So I think I get nervous because I don't feel like I'm well versed enough to even talk to people about it, you know? Like there's a t-shirt I saw that says, tap me on the shoulder if you need prayer. Like I wanted to buy it, then I'm like, oh wait, what if somebody actually does? And I'm just like, oh, I'll wait for that for a little bit. But I need to just go ahead and buy that and start wearing it because I have nothing to be ashamed of. God
Yeah, I
calls,
think
Jesus
that's
calls all.
the devil telling us, right, all the time that we've got all these reasons why we can't do things. But yeah, there's no reason you can't wear a shirt that says that you could give people prayer. If someone needs prayer, if someone really wants prayer, they're not looking for perfection. They're just looking for somebody to be there with them and reach out to God on their behalf, right? And you can't do that wrong.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't give somebody a bad bless.
Yeah, I normally go every 2 years to these retreats. It's called Via de Cristo. And it's full of American people. I am the only, as always, I am the only foreign there, and the only that doesn't speak full English. And one time they said, okay, today the one that's going to give the prayer is Veronica. And I was
Oh.
so mad. So mad, because I say, how can they put me in this position? But the worst part is, how can they give this responsibility so important to a person that doesn't speak good English, you know? So I say, well, this is not gonna work. Well, I don't even remember how I pray or how I did it, but I remember that I went to the kitchen, and it was one of the guys that was working in the kitchen. I told him, I don't even know why they picked me to do the prayer. Who in the world? And he was just laughing. You know that it wasn't a person that picked you. He
Yeah.
wanted to pick you today to
Of course he
pray.
will.
Yes.
That's what Jesus
So,
does with me. He's like, oh, you don't want to do that? Okay, well, let's make it set up to where you have to.
yes. Yes. Yes.
I just stop saying no now. It's absolutely pointless. And I'm just like, here I am.
Yes.
Which sometimes I don't regret saying that, but sometimes it's kind of like maybe I jumped the gun on that a little bit too quickly.
Maybe we can try saying, God, I will, but please don't make me.
I'm going to try that next time. Be
Yeah,
like, God, Ben told me to tell you this, so. No, I'm kidding. I won't throw you under the bus, brother.
we are all Jonah. All the way, every
Yeah.
day.
Yes.
Let me crawl out of the whale. There are so many parables that we will eventually get to, hopefully all of them, because I want us to go through all the New Testament and the Old Testament, which I'm going to have to read because, my gosh, I haven't. I think I read Genesis back in January, and that was about it. And I'm like, I want to hear from Jesus. But where is it in the Bible where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament when he's in the furnace, the fire with the three?
That's Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel. I sent you a link of a documentary about that.
I don't think I've watched that yet. I'll do that when we get off tonight.
Yeah, you should, because it's very explanatory and very cool. Very cool. My husband loved it. He didn't knew anything about it, and he said that this did really happen. I say it's in the Old Testament. I mean, yes. Yeah.
There's some
I mean,
really good
it even
videos on
says
YouTube.
like he appearing as the Son of Man when they talk about the fourth person, and right, obviously the Son of
So,
Man is Jesus' title.
I have a question. The Son of Man is Jesus before he was resurrected. Son of God is him after. Is that right?
No, it's before. He said the Son of Man all the time.
Yeah.
No, but that was before he was resurrected. Right? Because he said that when he was alive, like physically alive. Then
Yes.
he became the
Yes.
Son of God after he was crucified and was rose again 3 days later. Right? Or did I
No, I
read that
never
wrong?
heard something like that.
No. Yeah, no, like, but the Son of Man, like, I don't want to say something that's not right, because I can remember if it's from a psalm, but I think it's actually from Isaiah, where it talks about the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. And so I believe it's Isaiah. Like, and so every time Jesus said he was the Son of Man, the Pharisees knew he was calling himself holy and of God and the right hand of God. And the Son of Man put him in as much trouble as calling himself the Messiah.
Why is that? I don't understand. Because he called himself the son of man.
Because in Isaiah it says that the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of God and judge all of the. I believe it's Isaiah.
Yeah.
I'll look that up and we can talk about it next week or the week after, whenever. Yeah, there's a lot of confusing things. And like what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode of if we can lose our salvation. I know I don't ask me where it is, but I know it's in there. It says that we cannot be snatched out of the hand of God or Jesus's hands or something like that ever. So which would lead credence to, well, we can't lose our salvation then. If we can't ever be taken from him. I can't remember where I read that though. It may have been Isaiah too, because I've been kind of flipping back and forth between that and Matthew. There's so much in Matthew, it's like, gosh.
Yeah,
Yeah, Matthew. Matthew's deep.
but
Yeah.
you can spend decades in John too.
Oh yeah,
Oh yeah.
definitely. And Romans, just trying to figure out what Paul's saying.
John is difficult. It's a difficult gospel because it's a spiritual gospel.
Yeah.
So I will never start to John with John. Matthew is a good way to start because he was very detailist,
Yeah.
you know, about the facts. But John is very spiritual. He got to a level very near to Jesus.
And John was Jesus's favorite apostle, wasn't he? This
That's
John?
what he say.
He
That's
says,
what
yeah.
he says, yeah.
That's what he say.
Well,
It's
I mean,
funny because my pastor always laughed that when Jesus resurrected, John saying in his gospel that he ran with Peter, but John ran faster.
Yeah.
And then my pastor say, okay, let's make a point here. I don't know, and I will never know why. What was this competition about John and Peter? That why John has to make a point that he was faster?
Yeah, because
It's
I mean, isn't
amazing
that like
because,
a little bit, isn't that not being humble?
yeah, I was gonna say it's amazing because, like I said earlier, like God's very clear that pride is such a bad thing, and John is very
Prideful.
proud of what God
Yeah.
loves about him.
You know what? That's humbling if you think about it, because This is who Jesus specifically handpicked to be his apostle and his disciples and to follow him and to preach his word. So that's kind of like, that's kind of reassuring to me, because I'm like, well, I think, because we are going to have pride, we're all going to, because I have an ego. I can admit it. I try not to, but sometimes it's hard, especially when I read something I didn't understand and then I kind of sit with it for a few minutes and the Holy Spirit tells me what it means. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm still smart. So, you know, but you gotta, I don't know. I don't even know what I was trying to say with this. So, never mind.
I mean, the war is difficult in the beginning. In the journey is not easy, Randy. I mean, it took Ben and me years and years. Every time we find things, different things, all the time. You know, this is, you have to let it go with you. You are driven by the war. No, you don't drive the war. It's something that you cannot control. It controls you.
Yeah, just got to go with what the Spirit's telling you to go with.
Exactly.
That's where that whole surrendering and giving up control comes in, that I'm so super good at, which that's like one of the first things I say in the morning, usually, other than thank you for letting me wake up today. I surrender my entire life to you. Let it be your will, not mine. Stop me from
Good.
stupid stuff.
Yeah, good.
So I looked it
Very
up
good.
at some point, and it looks like Jesus was just referencing the book of Daniel when he calls himself the Son of Man.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's saying, I'm the one that saved
The
Shadrach,
three
Meshach,
ones.
and Abednego. Yeah.
I think you just like saying their names, Ben.
Well, when I was in grade school, we used to sing all kinds of stuff, and one of them was a spiritual that said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace were tossed,
Yeah.
and I never forgot that line. So, yeah.
Isn't there like a kid's hymn that says those three names to you, something along those lines? I kind of remember something when I was a kid. I was like,
I mean, that
gosh.
might be the one. I don't know.
Oh,
I grew
yeah.
up Catholic, so I never say those three names. But I have a friend that she sings, she worships, Lorena. And she now, when she's in another church, when she sings, she starts to preach too. And it's amazing because I saw the growing of this woman a lot faster than my growing in Christ. And then she started to preach, and then she said these three names, and I was like, what? She said these three names like nothing. And then I said, maybe I should practice them because they are difficult names. Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely not Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, no.
But
Not
I
at
mean,
all.
that's a fun thing, because I mean, we're all going to be learning at our own speeds. Like I mean, yes, I'm in my hurry up mode right now because I want to just like get as much information as I can. But then I'm kind of like, why? I literally have nothing else to do, so might as well just take my time and really study and really get to know God, because I ain't nothing but time. Which is not always a good thing, but if you're spinning in the word, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Sure.
I mean, I would like to work again, but he's got to heal my brain first, because ain't gonna happen without him. But apparently, I have to heal my insides first, because he wants to do it from the inside out. And I'm just like, well, that's silly, but okay. It's your will, not mine. So, waiting on that. But it's been a fun, well, I'm not gonna say fun ride, because it's been kind of tumultuous. It's been an emotional roller coaster
Yeah, it
since
is.
I said, yes, Jesus, I do. Let's do this again. This time for real. And then Holy Spirit's like, oh, okay, well, this is what we need to work on first. Let me just rip your heart open and we'll just pull stuff out, and you're gonna wake up every day crying. Because something I just love to do, which everybody keeps telling me, there's nothing wrong with crying, and there's not, except for me. I don't like it. But for everybody else, apparently it's healing. So cry if you got to cry. And one thing I realized, I don't know if we had talked about it, I think Ben had mentioned something about it last week. I was so like dependent on my sister for everything. Like I went to church with her and I sat right beside her. So worship usually makes me cry. Like it, the Holy Spirit just does something to me, and I start crying. Well, she was always right there to, you know, hug me and comfort me and stuff like that. But with this new church, I go by myself. So when I'm crying, I'm usually, I mean, people put their hand on me and stuff, but it's not like they're coming up to me and giving me hugs. If I'm crying, I have to literally rely on the Holy Spirit to comfort me. And it's kind of like, this is what you should have been doing from the get-go, not listening to your sister, who's a human being and nowhere near being perfect. So that's kind of one thing I've really taken away from this whole situation with her, which is good. I don't need her in my life, but I would like her in my life. But I don't need her. I only need God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
Yes, I know they're one, but in my head, they're three different people. Still. All right. You guys want to do an altar call? Since we've jumped back and forth so much today, thanks to me. Ben, you want to pray us out of the episode and then we'll jump into this?
Sure.
Or
thank
did,
you, Father.
Did anybody have any, I'm sorry, did anybody have anything else they wanted to add to what we talked about? Okay.
Thank you, Father, for bringing us together tonight. We hope that you've reached people that you want to hear your word, and that we have done your will and have just blessed the lives of anyone that happens to be listening. And Lord Jesus, continue to bless our lives and help us to continue to do your will and to get your word out there. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. And if anybody has listened to our multiple series of words today, we've talked a lot and given up, you know, opinions and, you know, talked about our own personal experiences, which is something I definitely want us to keep doing, because people, I think, can respond better to things like this when they can relate to it. Because a lot of this isn't relatable. You start looking in, you know, things like, well, like Romans, for instance, the way Paul talks, that's not relatable to me at all. So it's nice to have people talk about their stuff. But if anything's tugged on your heart and you want to become part of Jesus's family, I mean, you're technically already his family, but to really seal the deal and make sure you have an eternity with him, there's a real simple prayer. And as we've said multiple times, becoming saved and being saved is easy. It's the easiest thing you'll do. Walking in that life is not, but it's worth it, because you get to spend eternity with God and Jesus in paradise, where you never have to worry about anything again or never have to cry again, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to that. So, Veronica, you want to translate in Spanish?
Yeah.
Are you awake? You like zoned out?
Yes, I am waiting.
Okay. And for anybody who does want to say this, just anybody who's under the sound of our voices, just repeat these words after us. Heavenly Father.
Padre amado.
I come before you today.
Vengo hacia ti.
Knowing that I am a sinner.
Aprende que soy una pecadora.
And that I cannot save myself.
Y que no puedo salvarme.
I confess my sins to you.
Confieso mis pecados ante ti.
And ask for your forgiveness.
Y pido tu perdón.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son.
Yo creo que Jesucristo es tu hijo.
That he died on the cross for my sins.
Que murió en la cruz por mis pecados.
Was buried and rose again on the third day.
Fue enterrado y resucitó el tercer día.
I believe that his sacrifice paid the price.
Yo creo que el sacrificio pagó el precio.
For my sins, and that he alone is my savior.
Para curar mis pecados, sabiendo que tú eres mi señor.
Today I turn away from my old life.
Ayúdame a cambiar de mi vida antigua.
And place my faith and trust in Jesus.
Y poner mi fe y mi confianza en Jesús.
I surrender my heart to you.
Yo me arrepiento de corazón ante ti.
Please come into my life.
Por favor, ven a mi vida.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname de tu Espíritu Santo.
And help me to follow you for the rest of my days.
Y ayúdame a seguirte por el resto de mis días.
Thank you for your amazing grace.
Gracias por tu asombrosa gracia.
your mercy and the gift of eternal life.
Tu misericordia y tu regalo de vida eterna.
Help me to grow in my relationship with you.
Ayúdame a crecer en mi relación contigo.
And to live in a way that honors you.
Y darte honor siempre a ti.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And if Amen. You said this prayer, we would love to hear about it. We'd love to hear your story and your testimony. Feel free to email us at throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. Or we're on Twitter and TikTok and Facebook, I think. Yeah, we're on Facebook. So, but yeah, we would love to hear your story. And if you need prayer or just want somebody to pray for you or with you, reach out to us. We would be more than happy to do it anytime. But we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in today. And we hope you gained some insight into your walk with Jesus. And hopefully some people have said yes to Jesus because of the things they've heard the last few weeks. At least we hope so. That's kind of why we're doing this, because we just want to bring all the glory to God and to really talk Jesus up and make people understand that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the reason why, at least the three of us, I'm sure a whole bunch of other people are going to spend an eternity in paradise. So just keep that in mind and just keep pushing forward and don't let the devil tell you a bunch of crap, because he's a liar. But thank you so much, and we will see y'all next week.
Next week.
Okay. Love everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you. As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.